This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Source Trunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 21, recorded on the 16th of May 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. I'll be drinking a Chimay Rouge with this episode, and it's a Trappist beer, which has a re-fermentation in a bottle, of course, like all the good ones. This one has 7% alcohol, and it has a very nice, attractive red color. When poured correctly, it gives you a very nice white head and tastes a little bit like apricot. It's soft and fruity and a little bit bitter. Now, from the site of Chimay, I'm going to cite you the correct way to pour this beer, because it's very important to pour a beer like this correctly. You have to tilt the glass slightly. I did that. You have to pour the beer slowly, and you have to be very careful not to touch the glass with the neck of the bottle. Then you pour the beer in one go, and you have to be careful to leave 1 centimeter of beer in the bottle. Whoops. Too late. Okay. And don't forget to hold the glass by the stem to avoid any finger marks. Okay, too late as well. So I have a lot of finger marks on my beard. They're pretty serious about this one, so maybe I should be serious about this one as well. I'm going to taste this one. Very nice. Okay, let's go.
Games.
I am sitting in the cockpit of a Cessna plane, and well, it's pretty interesting, because, well, I'm drinking a beer, of course, in my cockpit, which is, I think, against every flight regulation in the book. I don't think people can see me from the tower, so I'm going to continue. From the description from the site, the FlightGear Flight Simulator project is an open source, multi-platform cooperative flight simulator development project. The goal of the FlightGear project is to create a sophisticated flight simulator framework for use in research or academic environments, for the development and pursuit of other interesting flight simulating ideas, and as an end user application. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm using it as a end user application, as a game. They have built the project because commercial flight simulators, well, they are proprietary software, so it's difficult to extend the software by a lot of people. They lack a lot of extensibility, and an open source project like this one delivers a framework for education and research. Now, FlightGear is really a complete global effort. People from all over the world volunteer to attribute code. It really demonstrates what open source is all about. By keeping the code completely open and free, people can contribute to the project. Everyone can contribute to the project. There are more people contributing to this project than there are in a firm who makes proprietary software, for example. I'm explaining it a bit simplistic, but that's the main idea. There's a difference between people who love to code and people who are being paid to code. Which one of the two do you think will deliver the best and most interesting code? The code for an open source project, especially if it is a big one like this one, gets better every hour. And for coders, it's really a very good learning experience. I'm going to cite from the website a piece from Curtis Olson, and he talks about contribution to the project. Quote, "Personally, FlightGear has been a great learning experience for me. I have been exposed to many new ideas and have learned a tremendous amount of good stuff in the process of discussing and implementing various flight gear subsystems. If for no other reason, this alone makes it all worthwhile. Now, the features. There is a very big fact sheet on the website, and I'm going to stroll through the fact sheets. One of the first things that you see are the free flight dynamic models. Well, the explanation is really for professionals, but they have one GSB sim, which is a flight dynamics model for simulating the motion of light vehicles. They have the YASIM, which is especially based on simulating the effect of the airflow on the different parts of the aircraft. And then you have the UIUC, which is written by NASA. And this allows aircraft configuration files. The world scenery, which is very important for a flight simulator, is enormous in flight gear. You have 20,000 real-world airports included in a full scenery set. You have correct runway marking and placements. So the runways are correct. They are completely as they are in real life. There are taxiways available for many larger airports with green center and line lights and everything. You have sloping runways, which makes it really difficult for beginning pilots to do their stuff in a correct manner. There is directional airport lighting. The whole world scenery fits on 3 DVDs to give you an idea how much data is involved in this project. There is an accurate terrain worldwide, and that's completely based on very accurate terrain data. You have lakes, rivers, roads, railroads, cities, towns, land, everything is completely in the scenery maps. The night lighting in scenery is just fabulous. The first time I was flying at night, it really struck me that they had nailed down the lighting of cities in a very, very nice way. You really can see all the little pixels who are illuminating the complete night scenery. It's beautiful. Then, they have a very detailed and accurate sky model, which is very important for simulating the experience. The sun, the moon, the stars and planets are completely placed correctly according to specified time and date. Flight gear can track the current computer clock time, and that will give the correct place of the sun, moon, stars, etc. So if you would like to, like in the old days, base your navigation on sky information like stars, well, you can, because in flight gear it's accurate. You have seasonal effects as well. Stuff like the Arctic Circle in the summer, differences with the winter time, it's all included. Now, the moon is correctly placed and illuminated according to the place of the sun at the correct date. This might seem too much. This might seem a bit stupid to put that much detail in the correct lighting, but it's really important for flight sim. Then, the aircraft modeling system. Now, the variety of planes is just enormous. I'm going to read just a few planes you can fly with. For example, there is the 707, the 737, the 747, if you want the really big one. You have, I'm just skipping ones because you have a lot of planes. For example, the Aerostar 700 with two engines. A little man with a kite, which is called the Airwave Extreme 150. You've got the B-29, a big four-engine military plane. And you have the jet planes as well. And the older planes, so the BF Messerschmitt, you can fly. You even can fly helicopters. You can fly old Boeings that are used for putting out big forest fires, for example. Yes, if you ever wanted to try to fly a beast like that one, you can. You have the little Cessnas. You can fly different sorts of Cessnas. The bigger Cessna variations. You have the Canberra. It's really too much. You have a plane that can land on water. If you ever wanted to fly the Concorde, well, you can. It's taken out of relation, I guess, but you can still fly it. And then you have the F-16. Different sorts of F-16 General Dynamics jet fighters. The Fokker DR1, which is, I think, the Fokker used by the Red Baron, also that one you can fly. You have the more sophisticated Fokker flight jets, the Hawker Hurricane. You have, I think, you even have the jet that Chuck Yeager used to break the sound barrier with a few times in a row, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. Because of the fact that they have a very open way of using flight models, of using aircraft models, anyone can write an aircraft model according to the data of the aircraft and in that way contribute to the flight gear project. When you are in a sophisticated cockpit, then you will be blown away by the instruments and by the correctness and the way the cockpit is filled with meters and little gogs, and it's, I can't describe it. You really have to see it for yourself, like every program I describe and review, but you really have to see the correctness of these meters. The instrument animation is fast as well. It's on the spot, it's not chunky. The infrastructure of flight, it allows the designers to build complete operational and fully functional and beautiful 3D cockpits. Now, I said that the cockpits are fast, but they also lag real time. So if an instrument in a certain plane is slow in updating, it will be slow in a simulation. So in that way that you will be tempted to tap on your screen to resolve a failing or a very slow meter. To go to that part, you even have system failures. You can invoke system failures to train yourself to behave accordingly when that happens. If the hydraulic system leaks, you will notice this in flight behavior, to say the least. So instrumentation and system behavior is very, very accurate and very well done. Then, to play this, you don't really need a top-notch computer. You can do this with a moderate computer. It's really a focus on the realistic simulation and the beauty of it, the rendering of the scenery comes in second place. But if you really like, you can put everything into 100%. You can really say that you want every detail you can get from the machine, and then it will use all the resources from your computer and give you a very detailed scenery. Something else. Yes, the internal stage variables. That means that via external software, you can read the internal variables while it is flying. For example, the plane is completely in autopilot, and if it descends too rapidly, you can have a script that'll monitor that and send you a mail to inform you that you really have to pay attention to your plane because it is going down. If your wings tip a bit because of the wind, then you could, for example, have a Mindstorms Lego bot tilt your glass of water just a bit so you can feel the change. So again, the flight gear project is very open. It's very well documented, and you can write external plugins to make use of a lot of external programs or constructions that will help you feel the simulation, feel the flight gear experience. Now, networking. there is extensive networking involved in flight gear. In this way, you can communicate with other instances of flight gear. For example, you could connect with GPS receivers, external flight dynamic modules, an external autopilot, or control modules. There is a connection to be done with the Atlas mapping utility. So that's a project that aims to make high quality charts. You can make connection with the Open Glass Cockpit project. You can play flight gear in multiplayer on LAN with friends. If you have enough friends, you could even make a red arrow formation and try not to fly into each other. Or you can go completely multi-display with multiple instances of flight gear. And I will come back to that, because this is really interesting. Now, all those networking module different instances of flight gear make it possible to make beautiful projects like a real-life flight simulator made from four PCs. And when you go to the Flight Gear website, you will see a project that is named 747GW, and that is a project that makes a complete cockpit, a complete functional cockpit, out of the Flight Gear project, with multiple screens, multiple PCs. It has handles to boost the engines. It has everything on it, all with the openness of flight gear. Now, practical use. What I've done with flight gear is I've put it on a test, and I've stationed myself on the Brussels airport. You really can choose any airport you want. So I took the airport I know, and it is the Brussels airport. I played not on the airport, but on the sides of the airport as a child. I lived there, and I was completely passionate about planes and everything. So I know very well which direction points to which point in Belgium. To explain, when I was in the Cessna, I knew I was on a certain runway, and so I knew if I was going to take off on that runway, the first thing I would see was Brussels itself and the motorway to my left, which would lead me to the sea. So I just followed the motorway without using the displays, without using any navigation, and I knew if I would follow that motorway, I would get to the sea and I would get to the airport of Ostend. If everything was all right with the scenery, that was the thing that was going to happen. And yes, after 100 kilometers, I was using a jet, so that wasn't too long, didn't took too long, I saw the sea and I saw the Ostend airport, where I could land. So it's completely accurate to real life. And I was flying at night, so the whole experience was really very nice. I told you earlier about multiple instances of flight gear, and I wanted to check that out for myself. So what I did was, I had my Debian Linux computer on my left, I had my MacBook Pro in front of me, and on my right I had a PC laptop. I had three different operating systems: a Linux machine, a macOS X machine, and a Windows XP machine, all with flight gear installed on it. I had one master setup, which was my MacBook Pro, and two slave setups. So I just had to start my MacBook Pro flight gear and tell the other two flight gear instances that they were being slaves, and that their view was a bit rotated to the left and a bit rotated to the right. So that gave me a complete cockpit. I could look to the left, I could look to the right, I could look in front of me, see my instruments, see everything in front of me. And when I went to the left with my joystick, all the screens just... I can't explain it. I had a really flying experience with only three computers. And you really should try it if you have multiple computers. You really should install flight gear on multiple computers, put them next to each other, so to really have a flying experience. I told about a joystick, I didn't have to do anything for the joystick. I just plugged it in, I just started flight gear, and flight gear was... I could fly my plane completely with all the options. I could use the thrust to increase speed. I could use the buttons to get my HUD in front of me. I could use the little button in front of the joystick to change my view. I could tilt my head, see everything around me. Did I mention that it is a really beautiful, realistic experience to fly in flight gear? I'm exaggerating, aren't I? No, it really is. It's not choppy. It doesn't crash. Well, I crashed a few planes while I was testing it, but it doesn't crash at all. It is very, very fast and very, very accurate. Now, to say something more about the master-slave instances, when you use the documentation, keep in mind that in the documentation they don't put in IP addresses. Well, that's a bit of a bummer, because then you will lose half an hour finding out why it doesn't work. When you use the native FDM commands, keep in mind that you really have to put in the IP addresses of the slave computers. It's not in the documentation, and you could search a long time for it, so keep that in mind. One other thing that is really very nice with flight gear instrumentation is that you can adjust the meters a bit. Maybe you know that you're not really at sea level and your meter is indicating that it is sea level, then you can just adjust it. Then you can just point to the meter and adjust it just a little bit, to give you an example of how accurate it is. The installation, well, you just have to download flight gear and you can install it. You can download different aircrafts. There's already a vast set of aircrafts included in the base installation of flight gear. You can download scenery, you can download the complete source code if you want to tinker with it. You can get the flight gear CDs and DVD sets to be sent to you by mail. That you have to pay for, but I'll get back on that as well. The documentation is really extensive. They have manuals, tutorials, how-tos. It really gives you everything to become a professional amateur in flight. And it's a shame that I don't have more time to do this sort of thing, because it is nice. Okay, negative aspects. Nope. No negative aspects. Offer is Kurt Olsen. Some tips: if you're really serious about flying these beautiful planes, take your time to go through the tutorials. Take your time to take the complete manual for a little spin, because there is a lot about flight gear that you won't be using unless you read about it. Availability: it's available for Windows, Mac, Linux, FreeBSD, Solaris, and SGI. The latest release is version 0.9.10. You can get it at flightgear.org, and the license is GNU General Public License. You can support it by joining the development or buy the full DVD sets. Now, the buying of the full DVD sets, the sales go completely to the Flight Gear project, because they need server disk space, upgrades, domain names and stuff like that, but also sponsor a child. They say on the website that the world definitely needs a multi-platform open source flight simulator, but there are also way too many kids in our world that aren't able to get even the basic stuff like food, simple healthcare, and school. So if you want to help the project, if you want to help the Sponsor a Child project, just buy the free DVDs, and I can assure you, you won't regret it, because again, this flight simulator can keep up and even exceed professional proprietary flight simulators like the Microsoft Flight Simulator, for example. They have a very good forum on their website, and I posted a little question to the fora to get some feedback from the users. And from what I can tell, the users are really passionate about their game, if I can call it a game, and I asked them what was the best moment incident they had during the game. One person answered me, when I was selecting airports in flight gear randomly, looking for interesting places to fly, I wound up in a mountain region that was absolutely spectacular. I can't remember the airport, but it was a small grass runway in the Swiss Alps. The scenery of the Alps was incredible. I was flying the B1900D and had to be very careful because you could find yourself not having enough climb to get over a ridge, or sometimes I would go through a small cloud, but even though it's just a real small cloud, I would get nervous as I was afraid of crashing into the mountainside. Another player said, "One evening I checked the multiplayer Flight Gear server map and saw the creator of one of my favorite Flight Gear planes was online, tooling around in it. I hopped in the same kind of plane and raced out to where he and a friend were flying in formation. We ended up doing an impromptu three-ship cross-country flight. Now, how cool is that?" And another player said, "Probably my first real multiplayer flight. That had to be the best moment I had playing the game. It was quite a new feature at the time. And myself and another virtual pilot flew in a Piper G3 Club and a Cessna 172 in formation from San Francisco International to Half Moon Bay and back while chatting over IRC. The reason this was particularly memorable was that before that point, virtual flying had been quite a solitary activity. Suddenly, it was a group activity." I could go on and on about this game, and I have to wrap it up, but I could explain all the little details, and I could tell you more about all the menu settings you can change, the weather, the equipment, and so on and so on, but I'm not going to do it because I'm already at half an hour, and to be frank, I just discovered the game myself. I've just played it for, I think, 10 hours or something like that, and I'm discovering new stuff every minute. If you can, just download it. It's completely free. You don't have an excuse. Your operating system supports the game. Just try it out. It's completely free. Leave your comments on sourcestrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcestrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with "She Could Be Something Good" by Loveless. And if you would excuse me, I have to give it a little notch because I'm almost home and I want to be on time for my landing. See ya. Oh yeah. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
I believe in some things. I'd believe her if I could. She could be something. She could be something good. She could be something. Yeah, she could be something good. It's okay if she's out there. It's okay, cause she knew she could. I believe in some things. I'd believe her if I could. But she could be something. And she could be something good. She could be something. Yeah, she could be something good. Something good. She could be something. She could be something good. Oh, oh. And she could be something good. Something good. Oh, oh, oh. And she could